like a lot of people, my phone has a notes app. And I use that quite a bit for things I don't want to forget, for lists. But when I noticed a few days ago that I had over 500 notes, and that seemed a little high, so I started looking at them to see if there were any that I could delete. And I came across a set of notes that I forgot that I had made for today's sermon. The notes said, hard times, lamentations, cockroaches, remembering humanity, harasser with MGT, AOC, Pelosi, name-calling, dehumanizing. So I had to puzzle over that because it was a while ago that I made that those notes. Most of that, I could kind of remember the topic. A few things I had already decided I was not going to use. But cockroach. I just couldn't remember how I thought cockroaches were related to the sermon today. So I apologize for forgetting that, especially if it was something really, really insightful. What I'm not going to apologize for is making Andy read and you listen to the entirety of Psalm 107. Had a lot of very short scripture readings in the past few weeks. So with this longer reading, I feel like we're back in balance. And the words of this psalm just really resonated with me this week. I wanted to use this psalm because a portion of it is the basis for the hymn we're talking about today. Eternal Father, strong to save. When Daryl and I were looking at the great list of hymns that y'all had given us as some of your favorites, he said it would be great if we could find a way to use this one, given his work for the Navy Band. And I discovered that it's not just the Navy, that the U.S. Navy, that likes this song. Other services that have adapted it include the Royal Marines, the Royal Air Force, the British Army, the United States Coast Guard, and the United States Marine Corps. And it's been known as the Hymn of Her Majesty's Armed Forces, the Royal Navy Hymn, the United States Navy Hymn, or just the Navy Hymn, and sometimes by the last line of its first verse, for those in peril on the sea. The hymn also has a long tradition in civilian maritime contexts. It's regularly used by ship's captains and sung during services in ocean crossings. The writer, William Whiting, was a pastor in England who felt his life had been spared by God as a young man. Is that a familiar story to anybody? A storm? Somebody feeling their life is in peril? We'll talk about it next week if you're not figuring it out. But his life was spared by God as a young man when a violent storm nearly claimed the ship on which he was traveling. As the story is told, years later, a student about to travel from England to the United States admitted to him that he had an overwhelming fear of traveling across the ocean. Whiting shared his experiences of the ocean and wrote the hymn in 1860 to anchor his faith. In the portion of Psalm 107 about the dangers of the sea was the inspiration for the hymn. People go to sea, and the sea is powerful and scary, and they lose their courage. They cry to God to help them. God makes the storm be still, and they are delivered safely back to the land. Psalm 107 shows that same pattern, being in a distressful situation, asking God for help, and then being delivered, happens in this psalm four times. The subheading for the psalm is even, thanksgiving for deliverance from many troubles. We see people in a desert, in gloom and darkness, being sick. And all four times there is this refrain. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. This psalm is about events in the history of Israel. It's one of the longer psalms, and it commemorates the power of God. Like our hymn says, it's about peril, but then being saved by God. The Psalms were collected and developed over a long period of time and set out pretty much the way they are, in the order they are now, about 3 centuries before Jesus. There are Psalms that are from an individual perspective and some from a community perspective. They give praise, they give thanksgiving. Sometimes they ask God why God is forsaking them. Sometimes they're statements of faith. Like the hymns we've been talking about this month, you can see the theology of the people reflected in them. They tell us what people believed, and they are a way to express our feelings. It's a part of human nature to sing, and the Psalms are often sung. Lutherans often use them in worship. The Psalms remind us that singing is stopped by suffering. Singing sustains in suffering, and singing follows after suffering. And singing together reminds us to find security in God. This particular psalm is mostly about a people's history, but it's also about human history and the history of every person. Our hymn talks about perils. The psalm shows us that every life will have perils. No one is exempt. And there will often be more than one peril in every life. Being a person of faith does not mean that bad things don't happen to you. It means God accompanies you when they do. Being a person of faith means we can go to God in times of danger or need. In both the hymn and the psalm, we're conscious of how powerful the sea is and how little and how powerless we are as we go through life, and that we need God to get through when the waters get rough. I may never know what I was going to say about this hymn and cockroaches. I do know the importance of the last line in this psalm. Consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Over and over again, we find ourselves in trouble, sometimes by circumstances we can't control, sometimes by our own making. And God's love for us saves us by accompanying us, just like God's love for us gave us Jesus. Amen.